ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is our last درس in English today and its subject is الصبر والمصابرة في سبيل الله. That is patience and endurance and forbearance and steadfastness in the cause of Allah. As you must be remembering, on my first day, I told you that I have edited a selected course of study in Quran-e-Hakim. And the starting point of that course is Suratul Asr. According to Suratul Asr, there are four preconditions or four prerequisites for success of man. All mankind is in loss. Wal Asr, by the time, by the token of fleeting time, innal insana lafi khusr. All men are in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Only those are exempted. They will not be in loss on the day of judgment. Who have real faith and who do good deeds and who exhort each other for truth and justice, and who exhort each other to have patience and endurance. So the final stage of the conditions and prerequisites of success and falah according to Quran is sabr. Now incidentally, this time we read certain portion, certain ayat of Quran. One of them was ayah Bir. In that also we found that these very four conditions are there. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس. Here also we have seen that the starting point, the first prerequisite, the first condition for success is Iman, and the last, and about which we may say that this is the zenith, this is the climax, this is the top, that is again sub. Then we read Surah Al-Qiyamah, although that lesson was in Urdu, but Surah Al-Qiyamah deals with one article of faith, and that is the faith in the life hereafter, the belief in resurrection, the belief in the day of judgment. And we read certain ayat in which we have found that our duty as Muslim is to propagate and to disseminate the word of Allah, Quran Hakim, and to call people to what is good. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And the last words there are, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And only such people are to have success. Only they will attain felicity. Not everyone who says that I am a Muslim will have felicity. Not every person who is a born Muslim, who is incidentally or accidentally born of Muslim parents, not every such person will have the salvation or the felicity or the success on the day of judgment. Only those who fulfill those conditions, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And then we read yesterday a few ayat regarding jihad, struggle in the cause of Allah. And I told you there are various stages of that struggle in the cause of Allah. Now we are reading four ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, in which the subject of sabr, that comes in discussion. First of all, we should translate those ayat, and then I will give you a very brief review how this subject of sabr has been mentioned in the Makki Surah of Quran, and then what is the change that occurs regarding the subject of sabr in the Madani Surah. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O ye who believe, who profess to believe, who say they believe in Allah, they believe in the life hereafter, they believe in the day of judgment, they believe in Quran, they believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we are reading four ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, in which the subject of sabr, that comes in discussion. First of all, we should translate those ayat, and then I will give you a very brief review how this subject of sabr has been mentioned in the Makki Surah of Quran, and then what is the change that occurs regarding this subject of sabr in the Madani Surahs. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O ye who believe, who profess to believe, who say they believe in Allah, they believe in the life hereafter, they believe in the day of judgment, they believe in Quran, they believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. Now we must bear in mind that this is an address to, for us. These words of Quran are addressed to us. Each one of us is included in those peoples to whom Quran is addressing. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. Ista'inu bis-sabr was-salah. Seek help in steadfastness and prayer. Isti'ana. This means to seek someone's help. Aun in Arabic means help. And i'anah means to help someone. And isti'anah means to ask for help from someone, to seek someone's help. Istainu. And this isti'anah is from Allah. As we say in Surah Fatiha, in every rakat of our prayer, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. O Allah, we will worship you, we will obey you. We promise that we will pass our lives as your bondsmen, as your slaves. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. And we shall seek help from you only. We shall ask for help from you only. So, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. And here the same word has been used, Ista'inu. Seek divine help. Try to have the help of Allah. But there are two prerequisites, two conditions for Allah's help. In Quran Hakim, you will find at different places that relationship between man and Allah is a two-way relationship. In tansurullaha yansurkum. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. What do you mean by helping Allah? If you spend your time and money for the sake of Allah's deen, for establishing the deen of Allah, you are helping Him. Although He is omnipotent, He is almighty, He doesn't need any help. How can a creature, a so weak a creature as ourselves, can help Allah, the Almighty, the Omnipotent? But if we are doing jihad for His deen, if we are sacrificing our time, our money, our capabilities, our intelligence, our working potential, if we are spending these things in the way of Allah, we are helping Him. And then only we can seek His help. Only then we are entitled to have His help. In tansurullaha yansurkum. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. It's just clear from this. If you don't help Allah, if you don't spend your time or money for Allah's deen, then Allah will not come to your help. Don't expect any help from Allah. And if the condition is that which is prevailing in these days, we are helping the enemies of Allah. We are doing with which the enemies of Allah will be pleased. Contravening His injunction, disobeying Him, throwing His book behind our back. What is this? Actually, we are helping the enemies of Allah. And then we want that Allah should help us. This is very strange. This won't happen. In tansurullaha yansurkum. There is a precondition to seek the help of Allah. And that is, if you help Allah, Allah will help you. In the ayah which is preceding this ayah, there is mention of zikr. Fazkuruni azkurkum. So you remember me, and I'll remember you. And in the sermon of Jummah also, you must have heard these words are repeated in the end. فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember Allah, Allah will remember you. So this is, so to say, a two-way relationship. There is a hadith Qudsi. A hadith is called to be hadith Qudsi. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah says this thing. So that is a divine saying, but not included in Quran. So this is less than Quran, but more than the other ahadith. Because if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, well, I am saying this to you, although we know that the final source of this saying of Prophet is also divine, the wisdom that Allah has given him, that is the source of all his things. But when he expressly mentions that Allah says this, Now this is something in between Quran and the other ahadith. And this type of hadith we call hadith Qudsi. There's a hadith Qudsi. If you come to me walking, I will come to you running. If you come to me the breadth of a hand, I will come to you the breadth of your arm. This is the condition. Same is the case with Tawbah. The Muslim who has committed some sin, who has done something which is not permissible, he returns to Allah, seeks His forgiveness, seeks His mercy. Allah also turns His face with mercy towards him. So this is Tawbah from both the sides. Man is also Tawwab. And Allah is also Tawwab. Huwa Tawwabur Rahim. He does Tawbah by turning His face towards His slave with mercy and grace and blessing. And the man, the Abd, he is doing Tawbah by turning away from sin and turning his face towards Allah, seeking His forgiveness and His mercy. So this is a two-way action. So there are many instances in which the relationship between Abd and Ma'bud, between man and Allah, that has been described as a two-way process. Same is the case with Nusrat, with help. In tansurullaha yansurkum. Now if you want to seek Allah's help, you have to do two things. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Number one, sabr. Now, as I told you before, there are many basic terms of Quran for which a single word in English won't suffice. Sabr is also one of those comprehensive words. If you add up the meaning of steadfastness, perseverance, endurance, patience, if all these four words, they are joined together, they will give us the meaning of the word sabr. First of all, you have to qualify for the help of Allah. If you don't do sabr, then Allah's help will not come to you. This is the first prerequisite, precondition. Istainu bis sabr wa salah. And number two is the prayer. You establish the system of prayer in your life. This prayer, five times a day, if we ponder about it, ponder over it, we'll find that it becomes the pivot of the daily routine of a Muslim. Whole his program becomes tied to this pivot, because to say prayer five times a day is not an easy job. These very words occur in Surah Baqarah, in the fifth ruku, where the address to Bani Israel starts. And that ruku also ends with these words, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. If you want Allah's help, you will have to fulfill these two conditions of sabr and salah. And there, if you remember, those of you who remember that ayah, there are words in addition to this. Innaha lakabiratun. This prayer, this salah, is not something small, something easy. Actually, verily, it is quite burdensome. Innaha lakabiratun. It's quite heavy. Illa alal khashirin, except for those who have true fear of Allah in their hearts. Allazina yazunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim, who have firm belief that they have to return to their Allah and they will be meeting him. Annahum mulaqu rabbihim wa annahum ilayhi raji'un. If these two things are there, khashiyatullah and iman bil akhirah, then only one can be punctual and regular in these prayers. To do these prayers as you are required to do them. To be punctual about them as you should be punctual. To be mindful of all the conditions which are necessary to say the prayers. the tahara, the wudu, and all these conditions. Then you keep the timings. You try to say your prayers in the early time, al-waqtul awwal. When the time starts, you get impatient. And you must say your prayers first of all. That is your top priority. If this is the condition, then it means that you have established the prayer in your life. And if you are only saying your prayers, sometimes on time, sometimes after the time, sometimes it is qaza, sometimes it is just without any mental attention, without any khushu or khudu in you. So that is something else. But to establish this salah in your life, it is absolutely different. And it's not an easy job, especially in this society in which you are living. It's much more difficult. Because in Muslim majority areas, where the Muslims are in majority, there are mosques in every street. And even if you are out for shopping and doing something else, you can say your prayer with jama'ah. Because there are mosques everywhere. But here it becomes very difficult. It's not an easy job. 100 times more difficult than in any Muslim country. But this is the prerequisite. If you want Allah's help, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Verily, Allah is with the steadfast. What do you mean by Allah is with them? That Allah's grace, Allah's blessing, Allah's help is with them. Allah is with us at every moment. That is another issue. Allah is here. He is omnipresent. Huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum. He is with you wherever you are. He is with you. He is omnipresent. So in that way, Allah is present with every person, with every creature. The person, whether he be Muslim or non-Muslim, Allah is with him. But that is regarding his presence only. Omnipresence of Allah. But you know, the ma'iyah, the meaning of Allah be with us, that is in a special sense, and that is his blessing, his mercy, his help is with us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. What does it mean? Allah's help, Allah's blessing, Allah's mercy is with those people who are steadfast, who can endure hardships in his way, who are ready to sacrifice whatever is the demand, who are ready to do whatever is commanded. If such people are there, rest assured that Allah's help is with them. Now before we proceed further, we must understand one thing. For what purpose this help of Allah is required? As I told you, Quran-e-Hakim is a very compact book in the sense that there is a close relationship between the ayat. They are not at random. They are interconnected with each other. Now in Surah Baqarah we find that in the 17th ruku, there is an ayah which tells us, the Muslims, the members of the Muslim Ummah, what is our duty as Muslims? وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And we have made you the best Ummah. But what for? You have been made into an Ummah. An Ummah has been founded. But for what aims and objectives? وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So that you be the witnesses unto humanity at large, unto the mankind as a whole. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he becomes the witness unto you. Now this is, we can say, a chain. The guidance of Allah came not to us directly, not to Abu Jahl, not to Abu Lahab, not to Abu Bakr, not to Umar. It came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the recipient of divine word. He was the recipient of wahi. Now it was his duty to convey this message of Allah, to communicate this word of Allah to the people, because it was directed towards them. It was revealed to him for the guidance of humanity, not for him alone. So this is the first link. And if you want to trace it further, first link is Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He received the words of Allah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is the first link in the chain of this revelation and guidance. He communicated the word of Allah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the recipient of the word of Allah. He got it. And it was his duty to preach it, to teach it, to explain it, as I told you. أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have sent this reminder, this remembrance, this az-zikr, so that you should explain this zikr to the people for whom it has been revealed. So now it is his duty bound. As in Maida, Surah Maida, there are very stern words. يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, preach and convey and communicate everything that has been revealed to you. You can't conceal anything. If you feel that if I say this thing, then they will be against me, they will oppose me, there will be every sort of persecution, so I should keep this word of Allah with me and not communicate it to him. It couldn't happen. But I am only saying it so that you can understand. So the warning was, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. You have to preach each and every word of Allah which has reached you. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ. If you don't do that, if you do it partially, for example, supposedly, if you do it partially, you communicate some of the message and you hide some part of it. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. So you have not done the duty that was bestowed upon you by Allah when He selected you as His messenger. So now this is the duty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached it, taught it, conveyed it, communicated it, explained it. And he did all these things verbally as well as practically. If he communicated to us the commandment of Allah, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ, he himself established salah in his life. He gave an example. So there was verbal testimony as well as actual and practical testimony. If he said that Allah commands that the hands of the thief should be cut, well, he performed that action himself and he cut the hands of the thieves. So this was the practical testimony. Preaching the words, this is theoretical, or you may say verbal testimony. And doing it yourself, that becomes practical testimony. Now this is the duty of the Ummah. As I told you, that in his last sermon, what did he say? Ala hal ballaghtu? Have I not preached it to you? Have I not conveyed to you the message of Allah? And the Ummah replied in affirmative. They accepted. They testified, Inna nashhadu annaka qad ballaghta wa addaita wa nasahta. O Messenger of Allah, we testify, you have done your duty. You have conveyed the message of Allah to us. You have communicated the word of Allah to us. And then, once he raised his finger and his eyes towards the sky and said, O Allah, you be witness to this. And then he said, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. Now it is your duty to preach it. So the Ummah becomes another link in the preaching and in the propagation of guidance, divine guidance. First link is Jibreel. Second link is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third link is this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what is said, كَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Now just have a glance on the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What hardship He didn't have to endure. What opposition was not there for him? Everything that comes in the way of any preaching or teaching or any revolutionary process, everything was there. He was, so to say, we can say, although there was no prison there, but the 3 years that he passed in the Shoaib-e Bani Hashim, that can be said to be a detention. He was detained for 3 years. And that detention was too hard. We don't have any such detention in these days. Because if once someone is sent to jail, well, he is looked after very well. He is fed there, he gets the food, everything. But the detention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 years continuously was without any food. A total embargo. Total blockade of that shade, that valley. Nothing can enter here. So this hardship he had to bear. So if he did it, it was not an easy thing for him. It was not a bed of roses for him. Although he was loved by Allah. Huwa Habibullah. He is the beloved of Allah, there's no doubt about it. Allah loves Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But although he was loved by Allah, he was so dear to Allah, but he had to bear the hardships. He had to endure everything that came his way. He had to show his steadfastness. He had to prove his perseverance. And then only his mission was complete. Then only he could communicate the word of Allah. Then only it was possible for him to say to the Muslims, "Have I not preached to you?" And the Muslims replied, "Inna nashhadu annaka taballaghta wa addayta wa nasahta." So if the Ummah is to do the same, can they do it without patience, without endurance, without steadfastness, without their readiness to sacrifice everything in the cause of Allah? It's impossible, they can't do it. So once that mission has been initiated, كَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Now, absolutely, naturally, it is being told to them that this duty which has come to your shoulders, it's not a light duty. It's not an easy job. It's a very heavy duty. It's a heavy burden which has come to your shoulders. Just remember, in Surah Muddassir, the same word was said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan saqila. We are going to give you a burden which is very heavy. We are going to reveal unto you a word which is very difficult, which is very heavy. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan saqila. So that qawl saqil is now on the shoulders of the ummah. So it is being said to them, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu ista'eenu bis sabri was salah. O ye who believe, who have taken upon their shoulders the responsibility that has come to them as ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the custodians of the word of Allah. You are the custodians of the sharia of Allah. You are the custodians of divine guidance for all time to come. And to be able to perform your duties, to be able to fulfill your duties, you must seek Allah's help. It's not an easy job. It's a very difficult job, and you have to do it because you are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huwajtabakum. Just as Allah selects individuals as prophets and messengers, He has selected you as a group, as a ummah, for the same cause, for the same purpose. So that is the relationship. Why it is being said here that you seek the help of Allah. In order to fulfill these duties, you require Allah's help. But in order to have Allah's help, again you have to fulfill two preconditions, and those are sabr and salah. You have to have steadfastness. You have to have endurance. You have to be patient. You have to be persevering. If these conditions, if these are not with you, then you won't be able to invoke Allah's help and have His help actually. And then you have to be steadfast in your prayers. That is the source of strength for the Muslims. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu ista'eenu bis sabri was salah. Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. Verily, There is no doubt about it. Inna means something which is emphasized, which is without doubt. Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. There's no doubt about it that Allah's guidance, Allah's help, Allah's blessing, Allah's mercy is with those people who are steadfast, who are enduring, who can have perseverance, and who can go on bearing whatever comes in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Now this is very important. Because as I told you yesterday, before Hijrah and after Hijrah, these two phases of the struggle that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, there are very many aspects in which these two phases are different. For example, before Hijrah, Muslims were not allowed even to retaliate in self-defense. They had to bear it. They had to endure whatever hardships were put on them. They had to bear the persecution that was being given to them. This they had to do, and they were not allowed even to raise their hands in self-defense. But after Hijrah, the conditions were changed. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Now this was the phase of qital fi sabilillah. Very soon there was to come the war of Badr, and only a year later the war of Uhud, and only two years later the war of Ahzab. This was to continue, and these are the big wars, these are the ghazwas in which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated. There are so many small wars in which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself didn't go, and they are called saraya. The singular is sariya. Sariya is a fight in which Sahaba-e-Kiram, Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they took part, but Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself didn't go with them. And ghazwat are those wars in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself participated. So we know only the ghazwat. If you number the saraya, that number you know, it will seem that no part of the year is there without any saraya or without any ghazwa. It was a continuous process. Because that armed conflict, as I told you yesterday, that had started. And once it started, there was the clash, the armed clash was going on. So now here is the word, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. The sabr in the days of Makkah was a different sabr. And the sabr which is required now, it has attained another dimension. In Makkah, we can say, if we analyze, there was two type of sabr basically. Sabr ala ta'ah. You have to have sabr if you want to obey Allah. As I told you, the first phase and foremost phase of jihad fi sabilillah is struggling with your nafs. When there is call of adhan for the prayer, and you have heard the call, but your nafs says, keep on lying, keep on taking rest. Go on. Don't heed to this call. There is a struggle in you, within you, between the duty that Allah has prescribed and the wish and the desire of your nafs. If you have sabr, then you will control your nafs and you will respond to the call of Allah, to the call of namaz, to the call of prayer, and you will go for the prayer. So this is sabr ala ta'ah. In order to obey Allah, you must have sabr. There is a chance before you that you can gain much by telling a lie. But Allah has forbidden you from telling lies. Now there must be sabr in you. That would be called sabr anil ma'siyah. Sabr ala ta'ah. In order to obey Allah, to be obedient, you have to have sabr. Number one. And you, in order to abstain from sins, in order to abstain from contravening the injunctions of the Sharia, again you have to have sabr. If you have sabr, you will leave that chance of gaining money and wealth, and you will stick to the injunction of Allah that you have to tell the truth. Now this is, you can say, these two words which I have given you, they are two sides of the same picture. Sabr ala ta'ah wa sabr anil ma'asiyah. Now the second type of sabr that was required in the days of Makkah, that was sabr in bearing the pain and affliction that was being given to them. This was the second type of sabr. You were not required to fight yourself. You were not required to have the sword in your hands and go to war in the way of Allah. But you were required to endure the hardships. As I referred many times, we can just imagine what was happening to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala when he was made to lie on the ground, the rocky ground of Makkah, which was burning like anything, and the sun was also giving fire. So this was the condition. He was made to lie, and a big slab, a big stone was placed on his chest also. And there was all the froth coming out from his mouth. But he was saying, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad. This you can call istiqamah, steadfastness. You have to bear. You don't go back from the word of Tawheed. The word of Tawheed is coming out of the mouth of Bilal رضي الله تعالى عنه. Although he is bearing the severest type of pain. And the same thing happened to Khabbab bin al-Arq رضي الله تعالى عنه. He was made to lie on fire, burning cinders. But he had to bear. It's burning. All your skin is being burned. Then the fat in the back, that is being burned. And the coals, you know, they were extinguished by the fat of his back and the blood. This is happening to him. And he is enduring. He is bearing it. This forbearance, this endurance, this is necessary for you if you want to be a Muslim. If you want to be a mu'min in the true sense of the word, in the eyes of Allah. Now this was the sabr at Makkah. Number one, about which I have given you two terms. Number one is sabr ala ta'ah. The sabr that you have to have if you want to obey Allah. Sabr anil ma'asiyah. The sabr that you should have if you want to abstain from and refrain from sins. And the second sabr was the sabr of enduring pain, of bearing it with steadfastness. You are not going back to the idolatry of your parents and your forefathers. You are sticking to the stand of Tawheed in the face of all this severe persecution that you have to bear. This was the sabr at Makkah. About this sabr also, I would like to draw your attention to two ayat of Surah Al-Ankabut. That is the second ayah and the third ayah. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Do men imagine that they will be left at ease because they say we believe? They'll be left alone only because they have said we believe and will not be tested with affliction. They think that they won't be tested. Everybody can say, I believe. But we have to test whether he believes really or he's saying it only. He's uttering some words which are not deep in his heart. This distinction has to be made. And how this distinction can be made? Unless you test them. Although Allah knows everything. He knows whosoever has the real faith in his heart and whosoever is only professing it with his tongue and the real faith is not there in his heart. He knows it. But it is his law, it is his rule that he makes it manifest. He makes it absolutely clear for the people to know. Who are the real believers and who are only saying it with their tongues? This is only lip service to Iman and Islam and there is not the real faith in their hearts. أَحَسَبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا. Did the people think? Now this surah was revealed in the fifth year after the revelation started. That is nearly eight years before Hijrah. That was the time when the persecution was most severe. This fifth year is the year of first Hijrah, that is towards Abyssinia.
The Rasul, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he allows certain people, you can go to Abyssinia, you can go to Habsha, you do hijrah, go there, because they won't leave you here, they will kill you, all of you. So you can go and take refuge in Abyssinia. So many people went there. That was the year when this surah was revealed. And there is a tradition, there is a hadith from Khabbab ibn al-Arth radiallahu ta'ala, he himself, about whom I have told you, that's what sort of persecution he had to face. He says that we went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, this is becoming unbearable. This persecution is exceeding all limits. It is becoming unbearable. Don't you pray to Allah for us that His help should come?" But the reaction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very severe. Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arth says that he was lying down with his chadar, with his some piece of cloth using as a pillow in the shadow of Kaaba. But when he heard our words, he sat and he was angry. And he said, "You are making haste. By God, before you there were people whom the perseverance was given more strong and more painful than what is being given to you. There were people for whom pits were dug in the earth and they were there, and then there was a saw put on their heads, on their scalps, and their body that was cut into two. But they kept steadfastness. They were there. They had all the patience and forbearance. And there were people whose flesh was torn away from their bones with some combs of metal, of iron. This was done to them. There were people who were burnt alive, but they stuck to their standpoint. They were there. They never went back. You are making haste. By God, a time will come when a man will go from Sana'a to Hadramaut, and he will have to fear none except Allah." That is, by that he meant that the kingdom of Allah, as are the words in Bible, that will come, and there will be nobody will fear anybody else except Allah. All fear and all fitna will vanish. So this is the background of these ayah. The same is attitude of the verse here. أَحَسَبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا. Did people think that they will be left alone and they will be just left at ease because they have said that we come to believe, amanna, and they will not be tested, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and they will not be tested with affliction, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. This has been our law, this has been our practice throughout, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We have been testing people who profess iman, who say they believe in us. We have always been testing them so that it is clear, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, so that it should be manifest who are those who are true when they say they are mu'min, and who are those who are just telling a lie. They are liars when they say they are mu'min. The same thing which we read in the ayah of Surah Hujurat yesterday. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. If you want to be accepted as true mu'mins by Allah, you have to fulfill two conditions. The iman within your hearts, which is without any doubts. And number two, jihad in your action. So you see that the same theme is coming before us many times. It is being repeated. Only the words and the style that is different, but the theme is the same. So this was the sabr of the Bakki period. But when after Hijra, we may say the movement of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or we, if we retain the basic word, the dawah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that entered its second phase, the second phase of active resistance, the phase of armed conflict. Now another dimension was added to the sabr which is required, and that is the sabr in the battlefield. Here you have to lay your lives. You have to risk your lives. And you know that life is the dearest thing to a man. He loves his life. He wants to live in this world. If he can sacrifice his life, it means he has gone to the highest point of sabr. And about that now, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. And don't call those who are slain in the way of Allah dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ نَيْ. They are living. وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Only ye perceive not. You don't perceive, you don't have the perception. But those who lay their lives in the cause of Allah, who are slain in the way of Allah. Now just as I said yesterday, the word shaheed is not used in Quran in that sense, in which sense we use it. I don't say that this is not the meaning of the word shaheed. Shaheed does mean being killed in the way of Allah. And in a hadith, this word has been used in that sense. But in Quran-e-Hakim you will find the same word qatl. مَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Whosoever is killed in the way of Allah, whosoever is slain in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah. And there is the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, I do wish that I be killed in the way of Allah, and then I am again resurrected, and then I am again killed in the way of Allah. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ. This is my desire, that I have this killing, being killed in the way of Allah, and then I am resurrected and again killed in the way of Allah. So the word that Quran use and mostly the ahadith, that is qatl fi sabilillah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Don't call those who are killed or slain in the way of Allah that they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They are not dead, they are living, but you perceive it not. Now if we try to understand, what's the meaning? Actually, death, according to our faith and belief, according to Iman, it is not the end of life for any person. Even for the kafirs, even for the mushriks, death is not the end of life. It's only a change from one form of life to the other. There's a very beautiful couplet in Urdu, Maut ek zindagi ka waqfa hai. Yani aage chalenge dam lekar. It's only a station, it's only a small gap in the continuous process of life. You just stay for a while and then you proceed in your journey. So this is all about death. We don't believe that death is the end. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. This is not the end of life. Only there is a change of life. That is why we use the word intiqal. What does intiqal mean? Intiqal is, if you shift from one place to another, if you leave one residence and you go to the other, this is intiqal. This is naqle makani. You use this word, muntaqil ho gaye hain. Wo yahan se wahan muntaqil ho gaye. And this is the word we use for that, intiqal. You shift from this world to another world. There's no question of the ending of life. That process is continuous. As Allama Iqbal says very beautifully, tu ise paimanae imroz o farda se na naap, javadan paiham dawan hardam jawan hai zindagi. So this is a continuous process. But what does these words say? That these people who are martyred in the way of Allah, who are slain or killed in the way of Allah, they have a very special life. They are enjoying the bounties of Allah. As in Surah Ali Imran, this thing has been repeated. بَلْ أَحْيَاؤُنْ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are with their Allah, who is feeding them, who is giving them. They are enjoying the bounties. They are the guests of Allah, who is their host. بَلْ أَحْيَاؤُنْ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. فَرِهِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And they are very glad with what Allah has given them from His fazl, from His bounty. They are very glad. You think they are dead, they are not dead. Otherwise, we believe that even the kuffar are not dead. They are being punished. We believe in the azab of qabr, of this, the interim period. Life here in this world, the life hereafter, which will start from the day of resurrection. And in between these two, there is a third life. You may call it a semi-life, but that is there. And this is called barzakh, between the two. This is intervening period of life. And in this period also, as the Prophet ﷺ said, every grave, either it is a pit from the pits of the hell, or it is a small garden from the gardens of heaven. So this is it. So this life, this period, the intervening period between the life in this world and the life hereafter, this is barzakh. And during this barzakh, those people who are martyred in the way of Allah, they are enjoying the bounties of Allah. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And they are having glad tidings, and they are hoping for their comrades, their fellow Muslims, that they should also lay their lives in the cause of Allah, and they should join us, and they should also have these bounties of Allah with them. So this is the condition of those people in alam-e barzakh, in this intervening period of life, which is from death in this life to the starting of the life hereafter, that is on the day of resurrection. So these people are enjoying, they are having the bounties of Allah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Now this is a very important word. بَلَا يَبْلُو. This means to test. To test someone. To test the purity of something. And this is the basic word in the philosophy of Quran regarding the purpose of this life. Our life has been, as I told you, divided into parts by this interval of death which is intervening. Otherwise the process is continuous. But this death has divided them, divided that life into the life here in this world and the life hereafter, and as I told you, the life intervening in between. But what is the purpose of this life? So in Quran Hakim there is that famous ayah, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah has created death and life in order to test you. This bala yablu, I want to make you understand the sense of this word. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ. We have created this death and life, and we have divided your life into parts, so that in this life we are testing you. Who amongst you is the doer of good deeds? Who is that who does good deeds in this life? Who qualifies for our bounties in the life hereafter? That is the purpose of this life. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We have created death and life so that we test you. Who amongst you is the one who does good deeds, who is very good in his actions? Now this is the key word of Quranic philosophy regarding the purpose of this life. This life is for testing. And we have that test at every step in our life. As I told you, there are two alternatives at every step. Either you obey Allah, either you obey the injunctions of the Sharia, or you have the worldly belongings and the worldly profits. Either you tell a lie and you have this thing, or you tell the truth and you can't get this thing. Every moment is there where you have two alternatives. Either you go on sleeping or you say your prayers. You are being tested. If you have the real faith in you, you will get up and you will say your prayers. If that faith is weak, well, your nafs-e ammara will overpower you and he will persuade you and you will obey him, that you go on sleeping, take rest. So this is the test which we are passing, through which we have to pass at every moment. Every action that we are performing, there is the test. So خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. But this test goes on. If you pass one test, another test is more severe. If you qualify that one also, you are for another examination that is to come. So you are going up, you are coming nearer to Allah. But in this process, you have to pass through more hard tests, still harder and harder tests. You have to pass through them. There are trials after trials. There are tests after tests. I might invite your attention to the ayah in Quran, in Surah Baqarah, about Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Ta'ala says, we tested him so many times. Wa izibtala Ibrahim rabbahu bi kalimatin fa atammahun. And just remember how Allah tested Ibrahim, one test after test. The following test is much harder than the preceding one, and he qualified all of them. Izibtala Ibrahim rabbahu bi kalimatin fa atammahun. Qala inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. When he had succeeded and he had qualified all those tests, then we said unto him, O Ibrahim, we are going to make you imam of humanity, imam for mankind. You will be the leader of the mankind. And we know today, these three big religions of the world, Judaism and Christianity and Islam, they all believe in Ibrahim. Ibrahim is, there is no difference of opinion about Ibrahim between the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims. There is reverence for him. There is respect for him. And we invoke Allah's blessing on our Prophet. And we cite the example of Ibrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. So this position which he attained was not without any tests and without anything that he had to bear. He had to leave his country. He had to plunge into fire. You just imagine the tests which he had to pass through. He had to leave his home first of all. His father said, you get out of my house. Wahjurni maliya. Go away from me. I won't keep you in my house. And he left the house. Salamun alayk. Sastaghfiru laka rabbi. Innahu kana bi hafiya. I will ask Allah's forgiveness for you. But I am leaving. But I can't leave the word of Tawheed. That Tawheed which has dawned upon me, which has been revealed to me, I can't leave that. I can't turn my face from that Tawheed. I can leave your home. No doubt. Then he faced the king. And in that, the court of that big king, he said the Kalma-e Tawheed. He uttered those words there also. And there was an argument between them. And Quran-e-Majeed in Surah Baqarah reports that detailed argument that went between him and the king, Namrud. And then he was thrown in fire. And he was ready for that. He didn't know beforehand that this fire will turn into a garden. He didn't know it. That was divine act which happened. But he was ready to sacrifice his life. Allama Iqbal has referred to it very beautifully. بے خطر کود پڑا آتش نمرود میں عشق عقل ہے محو تماشا لب بام ابھی. This was the love of God. This was the love of Allah that made him plunge that fire. But if he had to consult his intellect and his reasoning, that reasoning and intellect would have advised him otherwise. Don't take this risk. Why to end your life? Save your life by saying some words which the king might accept as an excuse for sparing your life. And then you will have time to preach. This intellect and reasoning can give you so many reasons. But that aql was there, the ishq, the love, that made him to have the decision that, okay, if this is the only alternative, I won't say anything with my tongue that can please this king or this nation. I'm ready. I choose death by burning. But I'm not ready to go back on what Allah Ta'ala has revealed to me. So that was a big test. This test was, let me mention, this was put on Socrates also. He also preferred death. There were two alternatives before him. Either you stop preaching what you are preaching, you just keep quiet. Or, if you don't want to keep quiet, then you have to drink this, from this bowl of poison. And he drank poison. He gave his life. He was not ready to leave preaching what he thinks is true. If he lives, he has to preach what is truth. And if he is not allowed to preach what is truth, well, he will prefer to die than to live without saying out what is true in him. So these are the tests which you have to pass. And Abraham passed that test. It was a miracle. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. But as I mentioned, Ibrahim didn't know it beforehand that this fire would be turned into a garden. Then he was made to leave his country. إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. I am leaving this country for the sake of my Rabb, for the sake of my Lord, for the sake of my Allah. If I can't be an abd of Allah in this country, if I can't obey, if I can't act according to the commandments of my Lord, my God here, I leave the home, I leave the country. So he did the hijrah. Afterwards also we find that all his life is full of tests after tests. And the last and the most difficult test was that when he got a son, at the age of 87, a person as old as Ibrahim, he was 87 when he got his first son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And when that son was 13 years old, now just imagine an old man of 100 years, full 100 years of age, old man, and he has only one son Ismail. Now there was the final test, whether love of Allah is still greater in his heart, or the love of that only son has surpassed the love of Allah. That was the final test. We have read that ayah. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. If the love for your worldly relations and the love for your worldly belongings that is more strong in your heart than the love for Allah and the love for the Prophet and the love for jihad in the cause of Allah, then you go away and wait till Allah gives his last verdict and Allah doesn't show his path to these people who don't conform to his commandments, who are fasiqeen. They don't deserve being shown the path of Allah. The path of Allah is only for those who do jihad in his cause. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who are striving in our way for our cause, well, to them we shall show, we promise that we shall show our path. So this is the test. And this test is throughout the life. But when you are a da'i, when you are calling peoples towards Allah, when you are a mujahid, you are trying to establish the deen of Allah on the surface of the earth, then the tests are much severer. They are harder and harder. So now the words are coming, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. O Muslims, listen it with open ears. If you want to be true Muslims, if you have an intention in your hearts that you should be accepted as a true mu'min by Allah, then listen, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, and surely we shall try you, we shall try you, we shall test you. Test after test would be coming in your way. And now the details are, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept anything from you. He has shown you. If you want to come his way, well, these things will come. Allah ta'ala doesn't want to deceive you. He doesn't say, come in my way and there will be no trouble with you. You will have to bear no hardship. You just come. And this is all the bed of roses. No. Allah tells beforehand, if you want to come in my way, be prepared that you will be tested. There will be trials after trials. There will be tests after tests. And all sorts of tests will come your way. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ.
These are five things. If you understand each one of them, I am first reading the translation done by Mr. Pithal. And surely we shall try you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and crops. Five things. There will be fear of death, fear of losing what you have. This hope is first of all. If I go this way, people will oppose me. People will say everything about me. As I told you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most beloved person of the people of Makkah before he started preaching what was revealed to him. Till such time, he was the most beloved person. They loved him all. They had given him the titles of As-Sadiq al-Amin. He is the true, the trustworthy person amongst us. But when he started preaching, those very people were calling him mad. He is Majnoon. And Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat in Surah Al-Qalam so that the heart of Muhammad should be comforted. Oh Muhammad, don't think anything about what they are saying. Don't be disappointed with what they are saying. Noon والقلم وما يسطرون ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون. You are not Majnoon. You are not mad by the grace of Allah. And what they are saying, when you will bear it and you will endure it, your status in the eyes of Allah will go on increasing. And your ajr will be that ajr which will never be finished. Ajrun ghayra mamnoon. But these words of solace, of comfort for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to be revealed in Quran. Because whatever he was hearing was hurting him in the heart. These people who used to love me like anything, and now they are calling me mad, Majnoon, Shayr, whatever. What was not said about him? So the fear is first. Lest people should say this. Lest people should think this thing about me. Well, he seems to be an ambitious man. He wants to gather wealth. He is doing all this, having the worldly gains in his mind. He wants to do this to have power in his hand. As I told you yesterday, when the offer was made to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you want to be a king, we are ready to accept you as a king. If you want wealth, we can gather wealth for you. If you want to marry some woman, just tell us whom you want to marry. She be any person from any family of Quraysh, then she will be married to you. These are the three incentives. As men, people, if they think what they are themselves, in reality, they will think the same about other person. So these were their opinions about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are ready to give you this, but don't take this path for getting this power and wealth. We are ready to give these things to you without this one. So this is the fear which comes first. What will be said about me? What people will think about me? What I will have to bear? So, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ and hunger. I told you this hunger. To the first order, hunger of the first order, that was for Muhammad and his family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and radiallahu ta'ala anhum, for full 3 years. That Shayb, that valley, small valley, which is called Shayb-e-Abi Talib and Shayb-e-Bani Hashim, two names are given. There was blockage. Nothing, no edible things were allowed to enter that valley. On all the sides it was protected. And occasions did come when small children, infants, they were crying for hunger. But there was nothing except old skin, you know, old skins. And they were boiled in water. And that water was just dropped in the throat of those infants. Nothing else. What to speak of milk or to speak of honey? Nothing. The old skins, leather, the old leather, that was boiled in water. And that water was just dropped in their throats. Nothing else. So this severest type of hunger was born by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then
what happened at the time of Ahzab. Nothing was there. Whole Medina was surrounded by armies. All these gardens, they were all destroyed. Nothing in Medina to eat. And there was, for many times, Sahaba Ikram didn't eat anything. And they had fastened some stones with their bellies, lest their backs should bow down. So this was the condition of Jew. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. When Muhajirs, they went to Mecca, they went to Medina, all they left behind that was taken up by the Mushrikeen, by the order of Abu Jahl. And this was all confiscated, all property confiscated. Their houses raided, everything, articles of use, they were all confiscated in the name of their false gods. They had to lose everything. They left their homes and hearts. So you have to lose. You will be tried. By the loss of amwal, the worldly belongings, loss of wealth, wal anfus, loss of life, you will have to lay down your lives. You will be called upon to fight for the cause of Allah. And you will have to take the risk of your lives. And what's samarat? The meaning of this word, there can be two opinions. Samarat, the fruit, the crops. Because you know the fruit or the crop is the result of the tilling of the land, the work that is put in. Summer is the result of something. But here the summer, Abdullah Yusuf Ali has translated it, by the results of your toil, you have exerted your utmost, you have worked hard for establishing a business. Now that the business is established, you are doing your duties towards Allah. And you are seeing before your eyes that because you cannot devote your attention towards that business is going down. You are seeing with your eyes that the fruits of my labor, I established this business by laboring hard, working hard. For example, for 10 years, 12 years, I worked hard. I established this business. And now, I have been commanded to go in the way of Allah, to go out. And this business of mine will be destroyed. So this is naqsin min al-amwal wal-anfus wal-thamarat. The toil that you have put in, the hard work that you have done, you have cultivated a field and you see the crop is there. But at that very moment, you are being called to go to the war. You can't reap the harvest. And you know that the harvest will be destroyed. It will go in vain. Same was the condition when the Muslims were required to go for Tabuk. Tabuk, you know, that was very far off from Medina. And then now the war was not with Arabs, but with the biggest power on the earth at that time. That was the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire. And at that time, the crop of dates was ready to be reaped. And people knew very well that if we go for fighting to Tabuk, there will be none here to reap the crop, and the crop will be destroyed. And we will have nothing to eat. But this was the test of Allah. And these tests are there. So this was a warning in the very beginning. As you know, the time of revelation of Surah Baqarah is just after Hijrah. This is the first Madani Surah of Quran. So in the very beginning of the second phase of the struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a warning is being given. Lest people should say that we were not told before, we were not warned before that this way of Allah is full of such hardships. So Allah Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He told them beforehand, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصِ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And we shall test you. We people say many times, let us come to the ground, to what is happening here with us, what we are doing. When we are told this is your duty, you have to do it, what arguments we advance? Well, we don't have time. If we devote time to this work, our earnings will go down and our standard of living, that will have to be taken down. And our wives won't agree to that. Our children won't agree to that. I have established this business, by working very hard for such a long time. And if I now take some time out of it, I have all the fear that my business may go down. These are the conditions here. And everywhere. It's not an exceptional case here. Everywhere. Because as we know, every one of us has limited time, limited potentialities, limited capabilities, limited working potential. And if you want to do your duties, as Quran says that we are duty bound to do, then we have to take time out of our time. We have to spend energies which we are now spending total for our business or our career or our profession. So these are the excuses which we make. And we should refer to this ayah. Quran tells us clearly, what we want to escape is unescapable. If we want to be true Muslims, the decision that we have to make is whether we want to be true Muslims and true Muslims or not. If we don't want it, okay. Then the ways of this world are open. Go anywhere you like. But if you want to be true Muslims and true Muslims, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Well, this is very clear. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say anything which is ambiguous. It's very clear. Allama Iqbal very rightly says, یہ شہادت گہِ الفت میں قدم رکھنا ہے. لوگ آسان سمجھتے ہیں مسلمان ہونا. People think that it's very easy to be a Muslim. No, it's not easy. You are entering the arena of martyrdom. Here you will be required to lay your lives if you are true Muslim. In this beginning, there might be smaller and easier tests. But if you qualify them, there will be harder tests. There will be harder trials. There will be harder and harder. They will go on till such time that you may be required to lay down your lives. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now this is very important. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you give glad tidings and good news to those who have perseverance, who have steadfastness, who endure all these things, who stand in the face of all trouble and all loss of life and property and the result of their toiling, everything. Well, those people are, they are entitled to the glad tidings. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now this word has come again. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. First of all, Allah's help, Allah's blessing, Allah's mercy is with those who are steadfast, who endure, who persevere. And now here, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you give glad tidings to those who are forbearing, enduring, persevering, and who bear all these hardships and who are ready to sacrifice whatever they have in the cause of Allah. Well, they have the right for the blessings of Allah. They have the right of the glad tidings from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me quote an example from Quran. I told you that Allah Ta'ala didn't keep it secret. We might think that don't tell people that it is very hard, difficult, that people will go away, will flee away. No, but Allah says, it is hard. If you want to come this way, be warned beforehand that you will be required to sacrifice these things. You make your judgment. You make your decision. Allah doesn't want to deceive you. You have to know that these things will come in the way of Allah. Now I quote from Surah Ahzab. What happened in Ghazwa Ahzab, you know, about 12,000 people comprising of many armies came from many sides. From Mecca, Ghatfan from the east, the Yahud, Bani Israel from the north, from Khaybar, and they all surrounded Medina. Medina was not a very big city. A few hundred houses. And it was surrounded by an army of 12,000 people. Now this ayah of Surah Baqarah, if you want its practical picture in history, That is Ghazwa-e Ahzab. There is fear. It seemed from all points of view, from this result, what happens in this world of cause and effect, this appeared that this is the end. Muslims can't survive. This onslaught, this attack is such a forceful attack that Islam and Muslims will be finished this time. It appeared obvious. So the khawf, the fear, the horror that has attained the final dimension. Then there was zuur, because Medina was surrounded. All the gardens and fields were destroyed. There was nothing to eat. As I told you, people had to tie stones with their bellies. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had two stones on his bellies, tied, lest the back should be go down, bent. So this jew, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. So these words translated into actuality, into the practical condition that was at the time of Ghazwa-e Ahzab. Now what happened in Ghazwa-e Ahzab? Those people who were hypocrites, they were not true mu'mins. When they saw the conditions, you know what did they say? They said, there are words in Quran Hakim in Surah Ahzab, مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they made wrong promises with us. Allah said there will be, His help will come. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a time will come when a man will go from Sana'a to Hadramaut and he will be fearing none else except Allah. Now these were false promises. These promises have proved to be false. These were lies which were told to us. مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. We have been cheated. Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have cheated us. They made wrong promises, false promises with us. This was the saying of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And what was the saying of the Muslims, the mu'mins, who had true iman in them? وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. And when those who had true belief and faith in their hearts, when they saw the armies, what did they say? قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what Allah had promised us. And His promise, and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His Messenger had promised us. So now, just imagine, the conditions are the same. The same state of affairs which both of them are facing, the mu'mins and the munafiqeen. But the reaction is absolutely different. Diagonally opposite. In the same conditions, munafiqeen are saying, مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they cheated us, they made false promises with us, they were telling lies when they said that there will be none to fear except Allah, that time will come. And the mu'mineen, what they were saying, in the same conditions, they were also facing the same hardships. But what was their reaction? وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what was promised to us by Allah and His Messenger. And no doubt that Allah also told the truth and His Messenger also told the truth. What was that truth which was told to them? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah had told this beforehand. His Prophet, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't hide anything. He warned us beforehand that these things will come. These tests you have to pass. You will be tested by fear, by hunger, by loss of property, by loss of life, and by the loss of the results of your hard work and your toiling. All these tests will come in your way and you will have to face them. هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And It did but confirm them in their faith and resignation. Their faith increased that this is the thing about which we were warned beforehand. Min al-mu'minina rijalun. From Muslims, among Muslims, of the believers are men. Sadaqu ma ahadullah alayh. Who are true to that which they covenanted with Allah. They had agreed with Allah. They had made an agreement with Allah. We are ready to sacrifice anything in your cause. So, they laid down their lives and they proved true to their covenant. They fulfilled that their part of the agreement. As Allah Ta'ala says at one place, you do your part of the agreement and I'll complete my part of the agreement. Agreement is between two parties. We agree to sell ourselves and whatever we have to Allah. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah. Allah has bought from the mu'min their lives and their property. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum. And what is the price? The price that he will pay is Jannah. He has promised Jannah. Now you fulfill your part of the deal. And I will fulfill my part of the deal. If you do that, I'll do that. If you go back on your part of the agreement, you don't fulfill it. Well, you don't expect me to fulfill my part of the agreement. So that is, as I told you in the very beginning, the relationship between Allah and man is two-way relationship. It's not one-way traffic. If you want his nusrat, you have to help his deen. In tansurullah yansurkum. So minal mu'minina rijalun sadaqu ma ahadullah alayh. Of the believers are men who are true to that which they covenanted with Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Some of them have paid their woe by death in battle. They have fulfilled their part of the agreement by accepting to be killed in the way of Allah, laying down their lives. And some of them still are waiting and they have not altered in the least. They are waiting when that time comes. This was the last portion of our dars yesterday. That whosoever dies and the wish and desire of shahadat fi sabilillah is not in his heart, well, he is dying on one sort of hypocrisy. It is hypocrisy that you are dying and you don't have in your heart the desire to have been killed in the way of Allah. Maybe that time doesn't come. Even Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he died at the bed, at the deathbed. He didn't have that position of martyrdom, if it means being killed in the way of Allah. He didn't get it. Well, this is by the decision of Allah. But if you don't have in your heart the desire of being killed in the way of Allah, you are not a true mu'min. Your death, if it comes in this condition, will be a death on a sort of hypocrisy. This is the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this ayat says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. Those who have laid down their lives, they have fulfilled their covenant. They have done their bit. And the rest of the true mu'mins, they are waiting when the time comes and they give up their lives in the cause of Allah and they prove true to their covenant. So now I am just ending that verse. فَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you give glad tidings to those who are steadfast, who endure. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Who say when a misfortune striketh them, lo, we are Allah's, and lo, unto Him we are returning. These are the words which we use most often when some Muslim dies. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But these words are not meant only for that. These words contain the full philosophy of life as we should have it. فَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. These are those. They are the people on whom
Allah's blessings descend and His mercy. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And only they are the rightly guided people. They have the true guidance. They are on the right path. They will reach their destiny. The destiny of heaven, of Jannah, of the pleasure of Allah. Allah will be pleased with them. So this is in 5 ayat here, which we have read. We have a very comprehensive view of sab. And the whole life for a Muslim and a mu'min is a period of testing. And he has to pass one test after the other. And the test, it can change in form. As the test in Makkah, that was the test of bearing the hardship, facing the persecution, but not retaliating. But the sabr at Medina, that was risking your life with a sword in your hand and going to war against the kufr, against shirk. That is an active sabr. That is a passive sabr. There you are not retaliating. Here you are advancing. You have the initiative in your own hands and you want to make the deen of Allah supreme. But throughout this process, you have to have sabr. You have to have patience. You have to have endurance. And you have to bear whatever comes in your way. You have to be steadfast. And if you turn your backs towards these tests, well, then you don't have the promises of Allah with you. Allah promises whatever He promises with those only who have the steadfastness and the endurance in the way of Allah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa sikr al-hakim.